Saturday night. Someone said it's the devil's night. Just depends on whose side you're on what night it is. This is the Lord's night. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. And we're going to read about three verses. Daniel chapter 12. We're going to read verse 4 and verses 9 and 10. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I won't endeavor to preach to you this Saturday night for a little while on the thought of the signs of the time. Father, we bow in your presence this Saturday night when the world is out there seeking for something to satisfy. We're glad that we found the rock of ages, the cleft that we can hide in, and you to be the satisfying portion of our heart and life. I pray now for just a few minutes that you'll shut us in with thyself. Help us to say the words that would please you, would benefit this congregation, and would stir all of our hearts to keep the wedding garment on and ready for your return. For all that you do, we'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice that twice in those three verses that I read to your hearing, the word says the time of the end? And it's not talking about the end of time, but the time of the end of the dispensation of grace. And said the wise will understand, but the foolish won't. And I believe every individual that knows God has a sense of feeling that certainly that the next biblical event on God's divine calendar is the second coming of Jesus Christ. I've heard folks say, well, we've heard that all of our life. I did too as a child, but that hadn't changed the thing one bit. It's closer tonight than it's ever been. And I just have lived to see signs that have taken place that I didn't think would take place before the Lord comes again. But the Lord knows what he's doing, and he's always on time, never late. But so I want us to notice some signs of the times that tells us where we are, and I believe we are aware of that more so than ever before. First of all, Peter said in his second letter in the third chapter in verses 3 and 4, he talks about the last day scoffers that would be prevalent before the Lord comes again. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Said that the last day scoffers would be walking after their own desires. They don't want to see the coming of the Lord. They don't want to be disturbed. They don't want to be upset. But they would say, well, where is the promise? All this talk about the coming of the Lord, wagging their tongue, making fun, belittling of his promises. But the world is not looking for him. In fact, they are last day scoffers. Did you realize tonight, as far as the world is concerned, you and I are the problems that's in the world? That was a time when that the Christian was respected and looked up to, but now they're saying that we're causing all the problems, but I don't accept that. No, we're not the one that causes trouble, Israel. We're not the one that's troubling the world, the condition. It's the people of Satan that's doing that. And so they said it would be the last day scoffers making fun. There was a time when true Christianity was respected. There was a time when Christian womanhood was respected and honored, but that's almost something of the past. And they, last day scoffers making fun, said, well, that's been so outdated. No, this book has never been outdated. No, it's right on the beam, right on the dot, right on time. And so he said that there would be the last day scoffers. But also another sign of the soon coming of Jesus Christ is that there will be the present day apostasy that's in the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, he said, that day, speaking of the day of the Lord, shall not come first, except there come a falling away first. Falling away. We don't have to look around very far. Perhaps almost everybody here tonight can look around and don't have to look very far. It may be in our own families. It may be in our relationship of the great falling away that which we're in. And what are they falling away from? Falling away from the Bible truth. They love not the truth. I want to love this book. I want to love the truth. I want to know what it has to say. Now it says that if people don't love the truth, they'd be the lie and be damned. And the word of God is God's still holy word and Bible truth. But I know someone, don't tell me what it says. Reminds me of some people about dealing with their income tax. They said, don't tell me what the law is. They don't want to know. I think they can get by since they don't know, but no, not so. Falling away from Bible truth. Falling away from Bible standards and convictions. I know individuals that have served God down the old-fashioned way of second blessing and holiness for years and have come down almost to the end of their life. And I'm talking about not teenagers. I'm talking about older people that have made the statement, said, well, don't you know God just laughed at us when we thought of those old foggy ideas and convictions that we had, and all those old things were necessary, and we had to live up to such strict rules and regulations. Well, they've fallen away from Bible standards, but God hasn't changed. There's a Bible standard for our deportment, the way we act. There's a Bible standard for our dress, the way we dress. There's a Bible standard for our devotions, what we're giving ourselves to and holding dear to our hearts. And he said, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. There'll be abounding iniquity, wickedness and vileness and immorality and immodesty and nudity and wicked imagination on every hand. You just, it's amazing what we have to put up with this day and age. There seems to be no embarrassment. There seems to be no sense of modesty left anywhere, even in the so-called religious circles today. But there's a present day of apostasy. God hasn't changed. And then there's a falling away from the Bible truth and the message of salvation. Oh, I'm glad that we still believe that God can save from sins. He can forgive us of our sins. He can change individuals and make new creatures out of them. And in Christ Jesus, they can become new. Old things pass away and all things become new. But not only that, we still believe the Bible teaches that there is a remedy for the nature of sin, that inbred sin. We can be cleansed from the nature, the carnal nature we were born with, and can be pure and clean and holy and filled with the Spirit of God. But there is in the best day apostasy falling away in the spirit of lukewarmness. So I believe that's perhaps one of the greatest dangers, is the spirit of lukewarmness. Perhaps there's more hope for an individual that is in just an out broken sin than someone that has kind of been religious and become lukewarm. Oh, I pray God, Lord, keep me stirred. Lord, keep me stirred. Move on me. Help me. Don't let me just settle down. Settle down. That's a tendency, is just to go to church and be religious. But oh, may God stir our heart and we not give over to lukewarmness. He said it's a thing that makes God nauseated, spew us out of our mouth. And there's two ways that you can become lukewarm. One is that your spiritual temperature never reaches but to the lukewarm stage. Never gets any higher than that. But also it can be a result of having a high fervency of love for God and allow it to settle down to a lukewarm, mediocre thing. I ask God to keep me stirred, Lord, so that I don't want to, after preaching to others myself, become a castaway. We're not in yet. And we're living in perilous time, the day of apostasy on us. And we need to ask God to shake us anew and afresh, keep us stirred, and keep our goal in mind, and keep our perspective right, and keep loose of the things that would hinder us from grinding God. Then another sign of the last days is the false teachers and teachings. There in 2 Peter, in the second chapter, he said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken." Damnable heresies. What is the false beliefs? What people don't believe in the reality of hell no more. That's just a myth. They don't believe in the Trinity. It's amazing that people said, well, the best you can do is sin every day in word, thought, and deed, and he'd hope just do the best you can, and God understands, get along. There's a false teaching today that once saved, always saved. A lot of folks seem to be, may not believe that, but seem to be practicing that. I said, well, once you've been born, you can't be unborn. But they don't think far enough that an individual could die. And have you ever heard of any dead people being included when the will of an inheritance is read? They're not going to get anything. They're dead. They're out of the picture, and that's the way it is when an individual, right, they can be alive one time, but they can die. We make our choice to go with God, and we make our choice to stay with God. And then there's people that said I believe everybody's sincere. And yet that may be true. I believe I've seen some sincere people, but sincerity will not get the job done if it's not the right thing that we're sincere about. Why, so you can be sincerely mistaken and wrong. I remember years ago, I was in school, college, and was coming towards Louisiana to hold a revival, and got off down, it was at night, got off down in Louisiana, North Louisiana somewhere, and saw my highway, and got on it, and was going along, and well, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, And I got to thinking, well, I don't remember this town being on my route. And went a little further in another town, I don't believe I remember this on it. So I did the smart thing. I pulled over to the side of the road, turned the light on, and got the map out. And sure enough, I was on the right highway when I came up to that highway. But instead of turning right like I should have turned, I turned left. And I was going the opposite direction of where I wanted to be going. And a lot of folks seem to think they're all right there on the road, you know, just sincere, believe that we're doing okay. I've had even some folk kind of indicate, well, preacher, don't worry about me. It's all right for you to believe that old fogey ideas that you've held all these years, you won't do, but I'm all right, I'll take it. But oh, there's false teachers in teaching. And then there is false spiritualism. The latter times he said that they would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and speaking lies and hypocrisy and have their conscience dead and seared with a hot iron. And I believe some folk are really, really honest when they say, you know, I'm having the best time spiritually in my life. And I know those old things back there used to bother me. That they don't bother me anymore. And I believe they're telling the truth. I believe there's some folk that have seared their conscience over and over and over. Override the check to the Spirit. Override the check to the Spirit. And override the check to the Spirit until that doesn't bother them and they're doing it. You know, when something is seared with a hot iron, branding cattle, why, you know, would burn the nerve endings on that hide or a horse, and you could take and probe into that scar, that wound, and they won't flinch. There's not any nerves there anymore. They've been sealed. They don't respond to that. And that's the way a lot of people are spiritually tonight, I'm afraid. They're no longer operative to this check of the Spirit, thinking everything is all right. Now let's move on to another sign of the last times, is that perilous time. Timothy, writing in his second letter, said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters." I ask you now, think, is this our day? Lovers of own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Do you mean we're just told to have nothing to do with them? No, we don't be involved and caught with them, though, but try to help them, but not let them influence us. Why, in the world, perilous times are tonight. We wouldn't be surprised, shoe-shocked in the morning to hear about anything that's happened around the world. Wars, distress of nations, signs in the heavens, perplexity, fear, men's hearts failing them for things coming to pass. War is just everywhere. It was said, my dad fought in World War I. That was the war that was supposed to have been fought to end wars. But that seemingly was the war that just perpetuated war after war after war after war. My older brothers fought in World War II. My brother Bob and I were in the Korean War. My grandson was in the war in Iraq and Kuwait. And there's just wars and everywhere tonight. There's war. There's so much unrest tonight. We wouldn't be surprised about anything. And they're talking about peace, 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 when there is no peace. And there'll not be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes back to this earth again. But we find that there are signs in the heavens and things are happening that's never happened before. And then we find in the church age, the Laodicean age, having a form of God but denying the power thereof. As I mentioned, that lukewarm condition. And then there's perilous times in the home. I've been ridden around with Brother and Sister Cable we have and here, nice homes. There's nothing wrong with a nice home. I thank God for the nice little home that he's provided for us in our latter years. But there's a lot of nice homes, houses, but not many homes. It takes a heap of living to make a home. Now, a home where the husband is the head of the family, not the boss, but the family. I know some men think they have to be boss. I knew a preacher one time, asked a young couple one time, "Have you whipped her yet?" Well, there's something wrong with that preacher, and there's something wrong with that couple that he even listened to something like that. No, the husband love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We'll be the head, but not the boss. We're to work. And the wife is not to try to usurp the place of the husband either. When God said man needs a helpmate, he didn't take a bone from Adam's foot for him to stomp her under the foot, or one from his head to rule over her, took one from his side to stand beside her to be a helpmate. And so, but we're not many homes today left. It takes more than houses and furniture and good gadgets and good things to make a home, but truce breakers and marriage doesn't mean much anymore. That's why I'm not even bothering to marriage. I was talking to a car salesman last week. He took a car in to get it serviced. And he had been up in New York visiting family and was talking to an individual that was in line to get their check. and made the statement, said, "No," I said, I'm not married. Said, "I'm not married. I've had three women. I have five children by three different women," and said, "And I'm not getting a job. I'm not going to get some. I'm going to keep this check coming in." Well, you talk about, marriage doesn't mean anything anymore. But the vow of marriage covenant is still a sacred vow that we're to keep. And then he said, not only truce breakers, but disobedient to parents. It's just hard for me to take sometimes. I like to read Dennis the Menace in the paper. He said, "Well, I don't read the paper." Well, that's all right. I do. I like to read Dennis. He's my favorite, I believe. But he's the favorite one, I think, about him. Showed him come a-bouncing in the door to his father and mother and said, "I know Mr. Wilson likes me because he said I wished I was his boy for 5 minutes." You know, I've seen some like that. I kind of wish that they were mine for about 5 minutes. Facts are my wife and my daughter, Marcia, were in Cracker Barrel there in Westlake and eating, and a mother and one wasn't a bit bigger than that sweet little thing back there came in, and a grandmother. And sat down, and the mother was trying to get her to do something, and that little one just reached over and slapped her as hard as she could hit her right upside the head. I said, "Little girl, you better be thankful that you don't belong to my wife." You know, but disobedient to parents, and then no restraint. No, thank God for the godly parents that are doing their best to raise their children for God and for the cause and for the kingdom of God. And then he said there are perilous times in the individual. I mentioned already in the meeting, no doubt, this is the most selfish, self-centered age the world has ever known. I've known of individuals because of selfishness, and I know it firsthand, have abandoned their own offspring, walked off and left them. It just blows my mind. Lovers, covetous, boasters, proud, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. There are a lot of people still in the world that's religious. But there's a great difference between being religious and being godly. And may the Lord help us to be not only religious, but godly. Then another sign I find, it's very significant, and that's the fig tree sign. That's over there in Luke, the 21st chapter. And he said, "And he spake unto them a parable, behold the fig tree. And all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own self that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." Friend, it wasn't just a happen chance that in 1948, Israel became a nation reborn overnight. The emblem sign of the nation of Israel is the fig tree. And the budding of a revival of the nation of Israel was in God's divine plan. And God's going to keep his promise. That's why it's so important. I urge you, I plead with you, pray for Israel. Pray for the safety of Israel. Pray for the care of Israel every day. And he said that that generation shall not pass away. Now, I'm not here to tell you the day or an hour or year. Don't mean that. The fellow that said that Jesus, 88 reasons why he's coming in 88, missed it. But that still doesn't mean the fact that he's not coming. It's just sure as we're here tonight. But I don't know what we might figure a generation. Some think 40 years. That's where he came up with the 1988. I don't know what God's plan of a generation is. But I know this, that even if it's 70 or 80 or 100 years, it's getting close to the coming of the Lord. We don't know. No man knows the day nor the hour. So don't you believe it. The only safe thing is they don't know, but we must be ready when he comes. And then the last thing we'd mentioned of the signs of the time of where we are is the Noah day sign. Luke again in the 17th chapter, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat. Now again, are we there? Is this where we are tonight? They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What was Noah's day and Lot's day? It was a worldly-minded generation. Eating, drinking, marrying. Anything wrong with those? No, not at all. But that it is, if that's all the primary concern that they have. Lot said they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Everywhere you go, I tell you, there's not any recession down our way. This new industry, oil industry, gas industry coming in, 10,000 jobs, our people are on the job, will be when it gets to the peak. And just building everywhere, everywhere, building, building, buying. And what all it indicates is that there's such an atmosphere of living for the now that they're too busy for God. No time for God. Busy for everything else, but too busy for God. Well, you said, Brother Ross, you've pictured an awful dark picture tonight, but I don't want to leave you there. I say, we might ask, well, what do we need to do in this hour in which we live? First of all, I believe we need to search our hearts. Search me, O God, and know me. Try me, Lord. And see if there be anything I need to move up in. Double check our experience. Is it love? Is it working? Do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And love our neighbor as ourselves? And then we need to prepare for the end. And not just live in right now, but on down the future. Prepare for the end. Then we need to keep ready for the rapture. Ready for the rapture. Don't know when it's going to take place, but the only thing that's really going to count is that whenever it takes place is that we are ready to go up. Keep looking to God. Keep looking to God. I just have to admit, if we look this way too far, we'd get awful discouraged. I don't know what the future holds. Look like it. America is about to, I don't know, go under. I don't know, but the Lord knows all. Keep looking up to God. He's looking unto him, expecting him. And love his coming. Long for his coming. He said unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Years ago, when I pastored in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, we were getting ready for revival. And we had some young people, our children and mothers, that played the violin. And we called the retired band teacher to come and tune the piano to the organ so everything would be all in tune. And this was happening just about the time when the hippie generation hit us. And this retired band teacher was of the old school, and he was awfully upset by what was going on in the high school. He just all worked up. And I come and visited with him, come to find out that he had a son that was a minister in an O-line church. And we talked a little bit, and he told about how terrible it was in the schools and carrying on. And I listened to him a little bit, and I said, well, Mr. Melby, that tells me that we must be pointing to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, he said, I believe in the second coming of Jesus, but said, I think it's at least 200 years away. And I said, well, Mr. Melby, I want you to know, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. I want you to know that I'm looking for him to come today. And if he doesn't come today, I'm going to be looking for him to come tomorrow. And I want to keep looking until he comes and I hear his call. So the thing we need to do for in this dark hour in which we live, look up. The uplook is still bright tonight. Keep looking unto Jesus. That is the hope of the church. That is the hope of the world, is the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Let's purpose by the grace of God that when the shout comes, we'll be caught up to be with the Lord, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord in the air. God bless you. Let's stand together. Amen. Brother Ronald Johnson, pray for us tonight as we go, please. Yes. Amen.
Causing us to love you. For a perfect heart, we love you, Lord.
In yes.
Jesus,
yes.
Help us. Revive us for Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. See you in the morning. Come believe in God.